You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. Are Chelsea fans proud of winning the Club World Cup, or do they belittle the tournament? How good of a signing has João Pedro been for Chelsea so far? What's the secret of Cucurella's hair? And what does the expression to belittle someone mean? Morning, good afternoon, good evening. It depends on the time of the day that you have right now. This is Zdenek, and you're listening to the Footglish podcast. Here is another episode for you. Footglish podcast is a podcast for learners of English as a second language who also are passionate about football. And my today's guest is Marvin, and as you can see, he is a Chelsea fan. Welcome back to the podcast, Marvin, and congratulations.
Thank you very much, and I'm delighted to be back on the pod, as always. Enjoy coming on with you and talking football, and it's been the first time for a very long time I've been on where I can be a little happier with the result, so great to be on.
I do regret not inviting you after your win of the Conference League, because that's like the second thing I should congratulate you on. So
Thank you, two trophies, brother,
for Chelsea this season. I think that's a great achievement, nothing to be sniffed at. And I do have to say, I do respect the Conference League way more though than this one. But I thought I might as well, you know, since you beat PSG, which I think is a great team, I might as well talk to you about it. Even though I'm not a big fan, I will admit I don't like this Club World Cup. I think it's ridiculous. But you know what? You won it. I think now, as a Chelsea fan, you must be proud.
Oh, I'm delighted. There's a lot of people that don't like the competition, but that's obviously to be said when their team is not in it, or the fact that Chelsea won. I would have probably been the same way had a rival team won it, but in the end I would have been jealous inside. And I will be honest, I'm jealous when, not jealous, but when a rival team wins any trophy that we do not win, I feel frustrated, and I never try to belittle it, even if it is the Carabao Cup. When Newcastle won that, I was happy for them, and I thought, I wish Chelsea would win again. You know,
I just don't like this competition for several reasons. First of all, it's just way too many competitions already. I think it's made in an artificial way. I think it's too commercial. It's Americanized. We will talk about Donald Trump as well. Oh, my God. It's
just, I am interested in the idea of that, because all the competitions are commercialized. I mean, the Champions League has had more changes of sponsors and format since its inception as well. I mean, you say that something interesting there, because I think the teams that were competing was all on merit. It was all about what they had won.
Okay, but the choice of the clubs, though, in there, like, what do you base it on? Like, why did we have these Saudi? I know one of them beat Man City, for example. Oh. I know they sort of like showed everyone that I. You know, respect, but still, I don't want to have a Saudi league in that, if sure, that's my choice.
But they are competitive teams, as you saw in this competition. That, you know, they played well, and like.
But why is it them? Why not someone from, I don't know, from South Korea or Japan? Why is it them?
They did have Urawa Red Dragons, didn't they?
But why? Okay. South Korea, was it?
I'm not sure where they are from, but
see, that shows my lack of knowledge of this competition. But I'm just thinking, like, they chose some teams because they have money, like that. That's just, I prefer the Champions League. I think it's fairer, like the way any small clubs can get there.
Dragons are Japanese, so they were also there.
I guess I'm wrong about all this, but it's just my feeling, man. I guess I'm a traditionalist. It's not for me. Sorry. I
mean, in that case, I mean, the competitions have always changed. I mean, when we were younger, we had the Cup Winners' Cup, UEFA Cup. We still had a free league format. the Club World Cup in, I would say that the Club World Cup now is much more legitimized than it ever was in the past. Mm. You would win the Champions League, you would enter this competition, you would play two games and win. So I think if they were to increase the prestige of this competition, I love it. I mean, Chelsea have won, but I was excited from the beginning. I was angry as hell when we lost to Flamengo. So it's not like, in my opinion, that you watch this. It's like watching another World Cup, but with clubs. Yeah. And I think that this system is, I mean, maybe you could argue a few of the selections of teams that played, but in general, there were many of the best teams in the world. You said all teams with money, but I don't think that Inter has a lot of money.
I'm not saying all teams with money, but like some teams definitely, like, I don't know. It just seemed like they found a way how to have Messi there, for example. It seems like, don't know. Listen, it's my opinion. I kind of like it that you're actually sort of promoting it and you're pro it. That's fine because we might have some viewers and listeners who are of this opinion. If that's the case, this episode is also available on the YouTube channel. Why don't you leave a comment and tell us which side are you on? Do you side with me? Do you think this competition is ridiculous? It's redundant. It's just way too much. The players are absolutely knackered. It's the end of the season. Does this count as the current, which season is it part of even? I don't even know anymore because it's already preseason for the next season. So,
but isn't that the price you pay to play for a big club, that you play more games? I mean, in the case of, like, you play for Crystal Palace, no offense to them, you play for West Ham, you will not play this amount of games. If players do not generally like this, they do not have to play in these clubs. Mm. And maybe that could also create more of a balance and allow the middle clubs to actually have more, that the players don't want to go through that level of stress. I do get they're playing a lot. I saw some of the players playing and thought they were tired, although I have no sympathy. They get paid over $100,000 a week. It's more than I would make in 6 years.
Let's see if that makes any difference. Let's see if Chelsea is the club that will actually now pay the price for that. Not just Chelsea, but who else was there? Man City, right? Was there?
Yeah, also played. A lot of good teams were there.
And that's it. It was just Chelsea and Man City from England.
Yeah, two teams. I think the concept was two teams from those leagues.
Let's see what happens there. I can't tell. Maybe for you it will have the opposite effect, because now that you actually won it, and let's talk about that a little bit. I think it might have encouraged you going forward as well. I think it's nice, like two trophies. I think a lot of confidence now building within the team, so that's great.
My hope is that, because it's a young team, and I don't think it would have been nice to keep losing finals. I mean, we lost that Carabao Cup final to Liverpool that we should have won about a year ago. And you've got young players. If they only experience loss, I think it's going to be difficult. So the fact
this
that
is
now,
great,
and now we picked up two, I think it's a good starting point. Well, I'll say starting point. I mean, I'm overwhelmed. But it's a good point for a lot of players, because we've now got one of the youngest teams, as opposed to past, we used to have one of the oldest teams. Mm-hmm. But yeah, naturally, I'm incredibly excited and happy with the win.
And I will be honest with you, I shouldn't probably admit to it, but listen, this is I don't consider myself a football pundit or expert. I'm just a football fan who happens to be an English teacher, or rather, an English teacher who happens to be a football fan. So I don't feel bad, or I don't think it's a problem that I didn't actually see the final, and I'm talking about it with you now. I've just seen the highlights. I've listened to some podcasts about it.
Yeah.
And from what I gather, you really dominated in that final from the first minute. You were really on top of PSG, which is absolutely unexpected, because they have been a really force to be reckoned with. The entire season, they won the Champions League, and every time they faced a big club, they gave them a run for their money, let's say, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I will be honest with you, it's probably the second final in the history of me being a fan of Chelsea that I thought we would lose. And I don't like to go in with that kind of pessimistic attitude, but I'd seen PSG play. I saw them win the Champions League. I saw them beat Arsenal. I saw them beat Real Madrid. I saw them win against other teams that we would struggle to beat. So when we're watching, I'm watching this game. I've just gone outside to play with my son for a bit. And I kind of made an agreement with myself. I will not get angry because my family are watching this with me. I'm not going to let it ruin my day. I'm going to accept the fact. And I'm just going to gloat that we're the second best team in the world for 4 years.
But you were the underdogs. Yeah, let's be honest. Like, everybody considered you to be the underdogs for that game.
So. And myself too. I knew we had good players. I knew we were playing well. But I wanted us to be competitive, fight for it, and see what happened. In the end, we from minute one, we got the attack. We missed this chance. I was like, that's our chance. Palmer scored
two identical goals. Like, it was like a long range drive in the bottom corner. It was two incredible goals.
The second one was probably a little bit better, I think, because he had the option to roll the ball through, and that's what the defense thought they would do. He dummied it, went inside, and took the same shot again, bottom corner. And at 2-0, I still was worried we were going to lose. And then João Pedro gets in, chips the
key. But that was another a brilliant assist from actually Palmer. I don't remember him playing that well recently, actually. Yeah. He hasn't been really firing on all cylinders, like scoring. Yes. I think most fantasy players even took him out of their team, including myself, the Fantasy Premier League. He's like this premium player, right? That you expect him to score, and not just one goal, but a brace or a hat trick. But we haven't had that from him lately. He delivered. He really delivered in the final.
Yes, and that's the standard he set for himself. When we see him play and he's doing all these incredible things, it's like we and that's been the discussion in the Chelsea fan base in online and in some circles, that maybe we didn't get that from him in the late part of the game. But even then, he was still creating chances and stuff, even when he wasn't on top of his game. In the final, he won it for. He did the same thing in a Conference League final. He delivered the pass, we scored. He delivered another pass, we scored. He did the same. And it's, I mean, we're very lucky to have such a player. It's incredible. He can pass, he can shoot, he can beat people 1v1. He's unselfish, he can do everything. And we're very lucky to have this kind of player.
He's a world-class player, or close to that. If not the world-class, he's close to a world-class player, right?
I believe you cannot not call him that. I mean, what's the criteria for world-class?
I remember you always talking about this. Like, when I had you on my other shows, you like this sort of label.
Yes.
World class, and is someone world class or not? And this can also change, let's be honest. Like, you can be world class 1 year, and another year you might be not world class.
The argument I always have with that is that the player has to deliver it. It cannot just be a million goals and no trophies, because you have to win in when it matters. He did.
So what about Harry Kane then?
Well, in my opinion, also question marks, but he's an anomaly, because you will see that like every season he's scoring a boatload of goals.
That's true.
Argue his record in finals is terrible. He has no goals.
Yeah.
And like, he won with Bayern finally, but even then, you see in some important games, even like the ones they play recently, you're not there. He's a good player. Obviously, I will always say he is a very good player. But again, I think we have put him on a pedestal where he does not belong. And that's just an England thing. Unfortunately, it's an England thing. We always do this. We did it with Bellingham. He's had a bit of a down season himself. They start to do it with Palmer, and then they expect every single game, goal, goal, goal. It's not going to happen.
Too much pressure on them, maybe, and that doesn't do them any favor. But going back to that Chelsea game, so obviously, João Pedro, you mentioned him as well. Now, what about him then? What an introduction to the team. So you just recently bought him from Brighton, right?
Yes.
When the transfer window opened, I think that was like right before the start of that competition of yours that you like so much.
Yes, right before the only team in the world in the history have managed to win at Chelsea in this competition.
You are the world champions now. You can call yourselves that for the next 4 years.
And I will do so. But the... It's interesting about João Pedro, because I wrote about him. You might have seen me retweeting a few things recently of my posts in 23-24 saying, I really like João Pedro of Brighton. What an underrated nine. But I did not think that we would try to buy him. I never really... I mean, I had other... He was on my list of potentials. I made a list of players that I liked. He might have been number five, number six, because I didn't really consider it. When I'd watched him, I'd always been enamored with the way he played. And I thought, well, he's a good player. And I didn't think it'd be that great straight away, so I can't take credit for that. But
did he score two goals in the semi-final or something?
Yes, yeah. And he should have had one in the first game, and he'd had like one day of training in the final. He chipped the keeper. I mean,
That was a brilliant chip. The pass as well from Palmer, but that was an important goal. And then we don't have time for everything, like the proper analysis of this game. I just want to sort of discuss a few interesting moments. So another one, which I have to say made me laugh, but you have one player, right, who seems to be like a moth to a flame with his hair for the opponent's players, for the opposition players, because when they get frustrated, the best thing they can think of doing to a Chelsea player, namely if it's Cucurella, is to just pull his hair, because his hair is so long and so specific, right? Yes. And it's not dreadlocks, but it's, what do you call it?
It's like an afro, isn't it?
Afro, something like afro, but it's very sort of huge and curly. And it's everywhere, curly, and gets in your face. And so that has happened several times. And another one of these we had now in the final. So one player from PSG, I can't remember his name. You can probably tell me that.
João Neves, I think it was João Neves.
Okay, so he pulled his hair and the ref showed yellow, but then VAR returned to that and a red card, straight red. It was brilliant. I love it.
Yes, I mean, I'll be honest, as I always am, I don't like it when players do that. And this is no... I mean, I'm happy you got sent up, we'll win the game, of course. But I want to be fair, because I don't like when players... He shoved his shoulder into the player first, then he pulls him.
Yeah, but this is retaliation. I think that has to be a red. And also, I think it's like almost they are protecting... It's like... It's the same, like you shouldn't... Imagine someone... took someone's pants off. I have seen it, by the way. There is a video of that happening in football. I've seen a video of that. If you take someone's pants off, I think it's like super humiliating and just not sport, no sportsmanship, or what's the word for it, right? Gentlemanly or something.
Unsporting-like as well.
Unsporting-like is the word. Yeah. Thank you so much. So I think this has to be taken out of football. Like we cannot have it, and it's the right thing to do to give him a red for that. But at the same time, I can't help but be slightly amused about that.
Yeah.
It just looks funny. I'm sorry. And the player looks funny with that hair as well sometimes. But he's a great player, nevertheless. Yeah.
He's done very well for us, and we love him. Yep. He really adheres himself to the fans. In the beginning, he struggled a lot. Yeah. And it was another player I really wanted at the club. At the beginning, it was not working at all. It's
also
amazing.
Brighton player, also from Brighton, right?
Yeah, we've done well with that. I mean, Colwell was there for one season. He's in our lineup. We got obviously Correa, Caicedo, one of the best players in the world in his position. Then we've got João Pedro as well. So actually, buying from Brighton formula seems to be okay. this current
we're working for you, yeah.
Yeah, but I like Cucurella. I think he's a warrior, and he's definitely popular. Yeah. Popular with our fans.
He's a funny guy. So I think when he sort of talks, and I think he has a personality. I like it.
Me too.
And the red card was deserved. It didn't really change the outcome of the game in any way, because it was after you were 3-0 up already. But that was cool. And then like the worst thing of that game for me is I'm sorry. I don't know what you think about it, but just the fact that Donald Trump lifted the trophy with your team. I find that person appalling for political reasons and for other reasons. As a human being, I think he's just the worst. Like, he's one of the worst presidents ever, not just in the USA, but ever anywhere in the world. Sure. And that guy just somehow managed to be there, present the trophy to you, and then stay there for the celebration. What's your take on that?
I mean, I looked at it as just something that made me laugh. It seemed like he didn't really understand what he was doing in there. Like, I remember they were lifting, he was talking to, I think, Robert Sanchez, like, yeah, okay, go and lift it, or whatever he was trying to say. But if anything, it's more like an amusing moment in history more than anything for us. It's like he gave the trophy and he didn't leave the celebrations. I mean, I can see why people might have been annoyed by that, because he might be in the photos with the team celebration, but yeah, I take it with a pinch.
It doesn't matter to you.
No, I mean, I just take it with a pinch of salt. I mean, you know, I'm in such a good mood, but we've won the game.
I understand. You don't want it to be spoiled by that. But yeah, okay. Yeah, but for me, it's just it's amusing as well, as you said. It's funny, but
it made me laugh that he handed out the medals to some of the players and some of them he didn't give it to, and I don't know why. But it was like some missed it. I don't get what happened there.
I think for me, it's making it mockery out of that sort of.
I think that they tried to do the opposite with that, though.
I know they did. I mean, they also tried to promote Donald Trump and America. I just don't like this, man. Like, that's my view. I prefer the British culture more, the more sort of reserved.
Maybe
you also respect it more. It's me, man. Like,
but
I
it's
just
what
don't...
happens also in UK events, right? So if we
but this is way too pompous. Like, this is too much, man.
We also have it. Like, we've had the Prince William and people give out like.
Yeah, but it's they behave respectfully, and this Donald Trump is just such a figure that all he represents and all the things he has said, all the lies he has told, and the controversies in the world, like. The way he sort of, I don't want to get into politics here, but I think those people that listen to my views on politics, they know what I mean. Sure. I don't want to get into this here, but I just, that of all people, that person to be there, I don't know what I would have done if I had been one of the players standing there. I would have felt like very conflicted about that.
Sure. I mean, it is the thing, you want to keep that kind of thing out the game, right? I mean, you don't really want to have, I mean, we don't really need to mix, you know, the two. I don't like it that they try to do that in football sometimes. You know, they try to make it about certain political views, ideologies, places in this kind of way. I'm not a fan of that. You know, I got my team and I don't really mix it in with those kind of things, you know. So, yeah, I would. I mean, probably if it was a character that I was really, really for me that I didn't like. I mean, when it comes to people like him, I try not to pay as much attention to politics from other countries than my own. I try, because even my own annoys me. I try to get out of it.
Yeah.
So
do I, but with him, it's impossible. Like, to think, because the way he treats Europe, the way he treats the conflict in Ukraine, I'm sorry, man. Like, for me, that's unacceptable. And I know some people might say like some stuff about Israel as well. I don't know much about that. I'm more like interested in the Ukraine because it's close to my country, and we have some historical connection there as well. So yeah, it's just weird that happened. But as we can see, it didn't spoil your mood, and I'm happy for you, Marvin. Congratulations once again, and thank you very much for talking to me about this wonderful achievement of Chelsea. And let's see what happens in the Premier League. All the best, and I hope I will be able to talk to you soon again.
Hopefully, and thank you so much again for having me on, Zenek. I love coming on here. When I can, I'm always happy to join in with the football discussions, even if it's not Chelsea. Welcome. Even if it's not Chelsea related, I'm always happy because I love the game in general. Yep. So we will
keep doing the show with Nrup, Heroes of the Week. So if you ever want to join, you know, you're always welcome. You can be our special guest there.
Thank you very much.
So I think that show for all of you guys, that's available only on the YouTube channel, and that will restart, we believe, with the start of the Premier League season, so in about 1 month's time.
Let's go, brother.
Okay, guys. Take care, and thanks for listening. And if you were watching this on YouTube, please don't forget to hit the like button as well. Welcome back to the Language Corner. As always, I'm an English teacher, so, you know, this show is about football. There is an interview with a guest normally, and then in the second part, I want to kind of showcase my skills as an English teacher. So in this case, I've decided to pick out several phrases, several expressions from my conversation with Marvin, which I thought are worth clarifying, worth explaining to you, and hopefully you will like my choice, and hopefully you will manage to memorize, remember, and be able to use these phrases yourselves in a conversation, because that's the idea. I want to teach you something, you see? So let's get started, shall we? First things first, I said, your Conference League win, it's a great achievement. It's nothing to be sniffed at, you know? So I think I was talking about this, and I was trying to compare the tournament, the Club World Cup, with the Conference League, because Chelsea won both these competitions, right? But I said, it's nothing to be sniffed at, which is a nice little phrase, which means it's a significant and valuable victory for Chelsea. It's a great trophy, and it should not be underestimated. Some people say that the Conference League is a Mickey Mouse Cup, you know, that it's just the lowest possible competition in Europe, because they created it as the last one, like I think about 4 years ago. So people tend to kind of put it down. But I don't think it's anything to be sniffed at. I think you should respect that. Right. Then Marvin said, when any rival clubs win any competition, I never try to belittle it. So to belittle something is a nice verb which you use in order to say something similar to the phrase nothing to be sniffed at. It means you cannot dismiss it, or you shouldn't dismiss it. So Marvin doesn't dismiss any win in any competition, even if it's the Carabao Cup, let's say, which is the second lesser important cup in England, because FA Cup has more significance, of course. So if you don't belittle something, it means you don't dismiss it. You don't see it as unimportant. You respect it. It's nothing to be sniffed at. Two similar expressions here. Okay, then I said, it's not for me. I'm a traditionalist. Of course, I was referring to the Club World Cup. It's not for me. I think it was obvious from this episode. I'm not a big fan. Not a big fan, but I kind of like the dynamic that actually Marvin was on the other side. I wonder to what extent it's because he had Chelsea in it. His club was in it and they won the competition. Can he really, you know, belittle that tournament if he wins it, if his team wins it? I don't know, but maybe he liked it even before. I really don't. And I said, I'm a traditionalist. I'm an advocate of maintaining tradition, and I resist any kind of change, basically. So I don't want the Super League. I don't want this Club World Club. I think it's too many matches for the players already. And yeah, I didn't like the way they did it. And don't get me started about Donald Trump. Please don't get me started on that again. No, let's just leave it there. Okay, then I said this long sentence. From what I gather, you really dominated in the final. You were on top of Chelsea, which is absolutely unexpected, because they've been a force to be reckoned with, because every time they played against big clubs this season, they gave them a good run for their money. So there are loads of expressions here. So first of all, from what I gather... So what does it mean, from what I gather? It's like from what it looks like to me, from what it seems to me, from what I can see, right? From what I gather. Then if you're on top of someone, did I say they were on top of Chelsea? No, I meant, sorry, they were on top of PSG. If you're on top of someone, it means you are dominating someone. So Chelsea were on top of PSG, they were the better team. If you are the better team, you are on top of someone, okay? And then I said that PSG have been a force to be reckoned with. It means they have been a really strong team, really a team hard to beat, right? And then I also said that whenever they played against big clubs, again, I'm talking about PSG, they always gave the other teams a good run for their money. This is an idiom, which means to challenge someone. They always challenged these big teams. I think maybe this is normally used when you're talking about a smaller team that gives a good run for their money to the bigger teams. But I used it in this kind of way. I think it's fine. But normally it's a smaller team who possibly competes closely with someone, usually against expectations. Okay, moving on. Marvin said that João Pedro chipped in with a goal. Basically, I mentioned Palmer's brace. I said that Palmer scored two goals, and then Marvin didn't want to forget about João Pedro's third goal. He said he chipped in. If you chip in, you contribute. Yeah? You can also chip in with, I don't know, if there is a fundraiser, let's say, you are trying to raise funds for a charity or something, and, you know, maybe you decide to chip in, meaning you also donate some money, okay? To chip in, you contribute with something, okay? And then I said, I noticed that goal, that those two goals Palmer scored. And then, as I said, Palmer scored two goals. And that is good that he woke up from his slumber, because he hasn't been really firing on all cylinders, I said. So if you're firing on all cylinders, it means you're operating powerfully and effectively. And if you're not firing on all cylinders, that means you're not playing really well. You're not in a good form, right? All right. And then we spoke about Harry Kane, and we were talking about which players are world-class. And I said, what about Harry Kane? Marvin's response to that was, he's an anomaly. So an anomaly is a person that is different from what is usual. He doesn't fit the box, that box of a world-class player, because he hasn't really won much in his life. He's just won a title with Bayern Munich, of course. But before that, he has been losing all his finals, right? Very unlucky player. So that's an anomaly, because people consider him a world-class player despite him not winning much. Okay, so he's something strange, something unusual, an anomaly. A hard word to say, it seems, for me. And then Marvin also said that what they do in England is that they sometimes put players on a pedestal. Yeah, Marvin said that we have put him on a pedestal where he doesn't belong. So if you put someone on a pedestal, that means you kind of overpraise someone, you glorify someone, you give someone too much respect, a sort of uncritical respect and admiration. You treat them in a way that they shouldn't be treated, but you give them that sort of treatment anyway, right? Okay, guys, I guess that's it. Like, there are obviously way more expressions in this episode, but I think that will do it. Normally, I just explain one phrase. Today, I thought I might as well give you some more, because I thought this conversation with Marvin about Chelsea winning the Club World Cup was very nice. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. If you did, please give this video a like or leave a comment, because it does really help the channel. If you're listening to this as a podcast, then I suppose you just keep listening and tell your friends about this podcast, because, you know, it's been only a year of its existence, and I hope I can, of course, find more listeners for the podcast to make it more popular. And, that's what all podcasters want to do, I suppose. So thank you very much for listening. I'm rambling now. It's time for me to leave now, I guess. Thank you so much for listening, and take care, everyone. Bye-bye.